all, as much as I love for you. But you may fade, my dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may fade, my dog will always.
As you well know, we love our dogs, and we love our cats, and we love our pets, and I've been looking forward to doing this show for a long time. Actually, our guest has returned. She was here in 2009 with a different dog, but Molly is here again today, Molly Johnson, with her puppy, although you would never know this dog was a puppy. He's going to be one spectacular dog when he's 2 years old, because he's just quite a therapy dog. We're going to be talking about therapy dogs and all the incredible work that they do this hour of the show. Molly Johnson is a certified humane education specialist, owner of Canine Comfort in Fox Valley, Wisconsin, and one of her therapy dogs, Fitzgerald William, a nine-month-old basset hound, one of Molly's newest therapy dogs, both with us in the studio today. Before we get rolling on our interview, we do want to say a couple things. One, please pledge this hour. Those of you who love animals, if you pledge at $180, we will send you a WPR pet bowl for dogs or cats. If you love WPR, you'll want your dog or cat to have this pet bowl. It has WPR engraved in it, and it's just really a good thing. And after you pledge, if you would like to, you can call our on-air number and say hello to your pet. You're welcome to do that, or I will do that for you when you pledge. I'll shout out your cat or dog's name. Maybe they're listening on the radio, and I can say, "Hello, Fitzy. Hello, Murphy." My dog's listening right now. So that's what I want to tell you. Also, Molly's going to be on our Facebook page along with Fitzy. Rhonda's cat Hunter is on our page. So is Lucky, KP's dog. My dog Murphy is there. And other listeners have posted pictures of their pets as well. So please add to our scrapbook. They're good pictures to see. They make you feel good. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Our pledge number is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Go to Facebook just to see Fitzy, if nothing else, because Fitzy is quite a beautiful, beautiful dog. And so we're going to talk about therapy dogs and welcome on-air calls as well. Molly Johnson, thank you so much for being with us. And thanks to Fitzy for coming in. I can't believe this dog is 9 months old. He is so well-trained already.
He is well-trained. And I think that he has the distinct advantage. I train dogs for a living. And right. So, of course, we spend a lot of time together. You know, the average pet owner just doesn't have that luxury. So I feel extremely fortunate to have that time. Thanks to my husband, Sean, for working so hard and letting us have some time at home. Because I think in the long run, he's just going to be spectacular.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Isn't it remarkable? The last time you were here, which I can't believe was 2009, it seems like it was yesterday or maybe a year ago at the most, you were doing work with funeral homes. And I thought, I had never heard of therapy dogs being used that way before, Molly, but what a perfect place for a therapy dog.
It certainly is. We haven't done quite as much with the funeral home end of things. We've been doing quite a bit of inpatient mental health work through Winnebago Mental Health.
Marvelous.
A lot of work with Friendship Place in Neenah. Also, it's a drop-in recreational facility for folks who are struggling with mental illness. Mm. And, of course, hospice has been close to my heart. I've been a volunteer in hospice for going on 20 years. And that's really where my heart is. My heart really lies right there. You know, spending time with people at end of life with a dog, when they can share stories about their dog, about the joys and the sorrows. And, you know, sometimes just being there with a dog helps them talk about other difficult things. And they'll tell those difficult things to the dog. I just sort of try to pretend like all I did was drive the dog there and hold the leash and sort of be a fly on the wall.
And why do we do that? Why is it that we all do that with our pets. If we've had a really tough time, you know, you'll talk to your dog and your dog will look at you like he or she is understanding everything you're saying. But why do we do that with animals?
No judgment. No problem solving. You know, I think as our culture, we want to solve problems. We want to help other people. And oftentimes, if I've had a rough day, you know, if I maybe articulate my day to a friend, I mean, naturally, they're going to want to help and solve a problem. And maybe that's not really what I need. Maybe what I really need is an opportunity to just simply express my feelings without, you know, fear of judgment or anything. I mean, our dogs love us unconditionally, no matter whether we've had a lousy day, we've had the best day ever. They're always there for us, loyal, loyal companions.
Yeah, they are. What is it about hospice work? You do work in all areas. I'm interested in hearing more about mental health work as well. But why is hospice near and dear to you?
Well, my experience actually, and you'll find most people who are volunteers in hospice, you'll find the same, a similar story. I was 14. My dad died in 1983 before the Medicare benefit ever went into effect for hospice. So he died alone and in the hospital. And at 14, I think most 14-year-olds can figure out that's not the right way to finish things off. So I didn't purposely choose a career in hospice. It sort of came around to me. I went to college and had no plans to work in end-of-life care. But as I became a little bit older, mid-late 20s, I started to think, you know, I bet I could offer something to somebody that I didn't have. Maybe just me holding their hand on the last couple of days they're here. How comforting would that have been for my dad? So then, of course, my love of dogs, they sort of started to come along with me. This is about the mid-90s, and boy, I started to see what a springboard for conversation those dogs were. And most importantly, I saw a lot of folks doing life review with the dog present. Conversations might go something like this, you know, the family's present and the son maybe of the patient would say, "Oh, Mom, remember when we had that black lab? We lived in that house on Oak Street. Oh, yeah, that's the tree where Jimmy fell out and broke his arm." And then it's like a snowball rolling down a hill. Mm-hmm. This is what end of life is really all about. It's sharing your joys and sharing your sorrows and sharing experiences and articulating that your life was full, it was enriched, you love your family, and you know, the dog is a powerful tool to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And what about the work with people who are experiencing mental health difficulties? That's an interesting use for therapy dogs.
It is. We do, not with Fitzgerald, but I have two other dogs that are registered therapy dogs. One is actually retiring here shortly, or I should say she really should be retired. I just feel sad about saying that. But Madigan, who was here in studio in 2009, yes. Little Black Lab, she and I sit in on inpatient group therapy on Friday mornings at Winnebago Mental Health in Oshkosh. Lots of common themes with hospice, themes of loss of independence, loss of friends, loss of family. You know, these are folks who some have been living in that facility for quite some time, years and years, sometimes decades. And one person who lives there said it very, very succinctly. She said, "You know what? We don't have anything living here." And I looked around and she's right. There was a plant in the corner, but they don't have anything else. There aren't birds or cats or even fish. She said, "It's the one thing that's alive around here." And I thought that was really, really sweet. We've had some really, really phenomenal experiences both in working in mental health. We've done that for a couple of years. We were on hiatus over the summer because Fitzgerald was, we're busy housebreaking and doing all those fun things you do with a puppy. But, you know, the last couple of years that I have been helping there, and several other members of our organization, our nonprofit, are also helping in that arena too. So it's not just me. We've got 78 dogs in our nonprofit up in the Fox Valley now who are our little, our volunteers are the crux of our organization. I'm so proud of them. I get to do all the boring background stuff like the website and take care of finances and have board meetings and all that icky stuff. We still get to go out, but it's grown a lot from the six people that we had when I was here in 2009.
Yes.
And now we have 78 dogs in our group.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable.
Molly. Wow. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Well, people are beginning to realize the power of this human animal, particularly human dog relationship. It is very profound. It's very meaningful. And all of these people who work with you must be having lives of great meaning.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, this, I can't even imagine if I didn't have a dog that I could share with people. I mean, if I just had a dog, that's one thing. But if I didn't have the opportunity to share my dog with others, I can't believe that my life would be nearly as rich or filled with the interesting stories and experiences. And you know, those things keep me grounded, too. Mm-hmm. Hospice work keeps me very, very grounded. It reminds me how lucky I am to be healthy, mm-hmm. how lucky I am to be able to drive home, how lucky I am to be able to empty the dishwasher, even though my daughter probably should have done it earlier in the day. You know, I can't be angry about mm-hmm. that. It gives you perspective.
Yeah. Tell me about the story you said as you were coming to this building. We're in downtown Milwaukee. You saw some guys hanging on the street here. And what did they say to you? I think this is great.
Well, we got out of the car. And first of all, I have to assume Fitzy is afraid of everything. So they're doing some work in the parking ramp, and it's noisy. And so, yeah, he's a little out of sorts. But anyway, we're walking up and down at 3rd and Wells, and there's a couple of people taking a smoking break, and the gentleman said, "I can't believe how cute he is. This is great." So we sat and chatted with these two folks, and she said, both of them said, "He has made our day. Thank you."
Aww.
I thought, if I can drive 90 miles to make somebody's day,
you
that's
got it.
Great.
He's made my day too. He's
Yay.
Yeah, and probably John's day. This is a day we've been looking forward to. This day.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to welcome phone calls too. We're talking about therapy dogs, and we have all those questions of how do you train therapy dogs? Are there certain breeds that are good? Can you train all kinds of dogs? Shelter dogs? Are there certain kinds of dogs who make for better therapy dogs? How do you become certified in this whole field? Molly Johnson is our guest. Molly has more than 20 years of experience with registered therapy dogs as an owner and a volunteer and a trainer. She is a certified training partner, which is a big deal. She's founder of Compassionate Canines Incorporated, which is a nonprofit volunteer therapy dog group working with hospice organizations, public libraries, schools, mental health facilities, community organizations to establish dog therapy dog programming. And she is here with Fitzgerald Williams, otherwise known as Fitzy. And Fitzy is only 9 months old, but you should see this dog. Well, you can see this dog because we put the dog's picture. We've just gone to the dogs on the Facebook page. We got dogs galore. My dog, Rhonda's cat, KP's dog, John's grand dog. You can post your dogs. This is an hour for our beloved pets. That is the Kathleen Dunn Show. So we're going to we're going to talk more about all of this in a moment. We have a lot going on this hour and this day. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive as well. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson. And I hope you know that at WPR, listener contributions really are the single largest source of our funding and keep these programs on the air. So please make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, last hour, we heard from 28 listeners, including 16 brand new members.
Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for those pledges. But as we do every hour, we have a new goal, and now our goal is to get 25 pledges by 3 o'clock. We're on our way. We've got two in the door already. We need 23 more. These goals are here to help make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you rely on it. And we're not buying a puppy kibble with it, just so we're clear on that. Help us meet the goal.
I think we need a dog in the studio every day, though. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm not even going there.
All right.
Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will help keep this network from going to the dogs. There, I got that in.
The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio is... Yeah, we love all kinds of things. We love politics. We love dogs. We love conversations and books. And it's like a statewide town hall where we get together and talk about all of these things. People come together to hear about topics and issues they care about, to ask questions, to share information.
Well, you benefit from this community.
Right.
And because of that, we're asking you to help pay for it. It's a pretty simple proposition. Your support is a very important piece of what it takes to make the Ideas Network possible. So please be part of this great tradition with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added incentive, we have something special right now. You have to put the kibble in the bowl, but we got the bowl. It's a WPR pet bowl, and it is yours when you give $180 or more. There's a picture of the pet bowl with Fitzy on our Facebook page, Kathleen Duncho. It's $12.50 a month, so it'll be a memorable hour for you. Ask for it now when you make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you've learned about so many issues, and you've met so many famous people, living and dead, on the Kathleen Dunn program, and it would take all day to make a complete list, but just some recent ones. John Dean, former White House counsel for President Nixon. Robert Reich, who's been a frequent guest on this program. People like Bill McKibben, world-renowned climate change environmentalist. So many. Marvin Kelb was recently on
great
the program.
Person.
30-year reporter for ABC and CBS. Well, whatever it is, WPR is here for you. And we're watching for the latest information on topics that interest you. So please invest in your future listening by donating right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio does a service. It's not just the regular state, local, and federal news. It encompasses your life. To make an informed decision, you have to have the two views. You can't have two views if someone's shouting at you that this is the way you should think. I like to be able to make up my own mind. For me, it has always been a friend.
Rather than waiting for a pledge, because if there's not a pledge time on the radio, it kind of falls to the back of your mind. But it just got to a point where I said, you know what? Rather than sending in a big thing right away, why don't we just do it so much a month? It's just easier, and I don't worry about it. And at the end of the year, I get a statement from my credit card, and I know how much we donated. It was just easier to do it as a sustaining member. I'm Larry.
I'm Ellie.
And we're from Madison, Wisconsin.
And please join us as sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Your gift may be $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, the right amount at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
22, that's the number of pledges we need in the next half an hour or so to help us keep on track for this drive. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
Ask for the WPR Pet Bowl with your pledge of $180 or more, $12.50 a month. Pledge now, WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
That pet bowl has got to win the prize as most adorable pledge premium ever. But I may be a little biased.
John.
I may be a little biased, but it's getting my nomination. Hey, when you make your pledge, become a sustainer because your sustaining membership automatically renews each year and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments. So easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give, and then please do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John. We're talking about therapy dogs this hour of our program, and our guest who was with us back in 2009 with another therapy dog, Molly Johnson, is with us now, and Fitzy is here. Fitzy is her newest therapy dog, just 9 months old and a beauty of a dog. Molly is the president and founder of Compassionate Canines and the owner and trainer of Canine Clicker College. We'll be welcoming phone calls for her during the course of this hour as well. Tell me about the process of finding therapy dogs. I know a lot of people would love to do this, Molly, but do you need to get a certain breed of dog? Do you Does it need extensive training? Tell me the process.
Sure. That's usually one of the questions that I get pretty frequently. I'll have folks that will call and say, could you help me pick one out? There isn't any magic formula except one, if you plan on getting a puppy, like my little friend here, you have to be prepared for the possibility that the dog may not be appropriate. Mm. We love Bassets. They're one of our favorite breeds. And we were fully prepared that if this dog didn't have the skills, didn't have the right temperament, we were prepared that he was going to be our family pet. It was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. However, if you get a puppy and this is your goal, you could potentially be setting yourself up for a surprise because the temperament that you see when they're puppies may not be the temperament you're going to see when they're 2 or 3 years old. Do you hear him whining?
I know.
Oh, Fitzy. Pathetic, right?
No, Fitzy, you're so cute. Come see Fitzy. Me. Fitzy, come on over. Come on over, Fitzy. It's all right. He can wander.
As far as breeds go, you know, any dog can be a therapy dog. Any breed can be a therapy dog. There, as far as training goes, this is where you may have some folks, I would say, maybe differ. I have been training dogs for 20 years, and I've been working with therapy dogs equally that long. And I can tell you that, in my professional opinion, therapy dogs either love people or they don't. There's not a whole lot of gray area there. They need to love people more than life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Temperament right. is absolutely 99.9% of it. A well-trained dog doesn't necessarily make a therapy dog. Those dogs may not be comfortable with interacting with folks that they don't know in an unfamiliar environment. They may be afraid of medical equipment. They may have fears, slippery floors, noisy alarms, mm-hmm. bed alarms, mm-hmm. oxygen concentrators. Can we train that fear out of them, per se? We can do some training, do some classical conditioning that would allow the dog to create a brand new association with that sound. So something very positive happens when they hear, you know, a bed alarm or whatever. So I will tell you that the most success that I've had, this is the first puppy I've had in quite a few years. The best success that I've had is finding dogs through shelter or rescue, and they have been around that 2 to 3 year old age range. That's my personal success. We've had a black lab that was a very effective therapy dog for 10 years, Kelvin Coolidge. Many years ago, I visited somebody and she said, oh, Kelvin Coolidge. She said he was a good man. I voted for him. That was great. That's one of the classic quotes I've gotten over the years. You know, our 11-year-old golden retriever named Beamish, she has been an outstanding therapy dog. I found her at the shelter when she was 3. Hmm. Had a little rough start there with the first family that she was with, but we got over those hurdles, and she has been absolutely phenomenal, particularly in hospice and funeral home work. Hmm. But she needs to retire. She's yeah. slowing down. Right. She doesn't enjoy it as much, and I have to do what's right for her.
Yeah. Let's go to a phone call. Joe in Prairie du Chien is calling in. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I've had a therapy dog, big old black lab. I've got a new one now, which brings up your first point. My new one is a real nice dog, but he's not suited for it, I can tell. The older guy was a rescue dog we had, and he just loved people. Everything was fine. I always thought if Jesus had a dog, he'd have this guy.
Aww.
But my story is that when I first took him to the local nursing home, after I got him certified, we went into a room. There was a fellow laying in bed, and I took him over to the bed, and I asked him, do you want to talk to the dog? I always ask people that. And he put his hand on the dog's head and said, I'm lonely.
Aww.
And when I went out of the room with the supervisor, she was walking around watching how I performed with him. She said, he's been here 2 years. That's the first time he's ever talked.
Oh, Joe.
Wow. Mm. Wow. And how neat for you to witness that. What a privilege for you.
Oh. Yeah, it made everything quite, worthwhile. It's a classic. Everybody wins.
Absolutely. Joe, you know what I appreciate about what you said when you initially introduced yourself was that you recognized that the dog that you have, the younger dog, just may not be suitable. And honoring the dog for who they are and recognizing that, accepting that, and really finding a match. Maybe it's agility. Maybe it's fly ball. Maybe it's nose work. Finding out what's a good match for your dog, that says a ton about you, Joe. Really, that's just incredible. Great job.
Thank you, Joe, so much for your call. If you'd like to join us on air, please feel free to do so. Our number is 800-486-8655. Now, Molly, you're a certified training partner. Is that an important thing to get, and how do you if you're going to be using therapy dogs?
Well, I went to school. I quit my regular paying job. Thanks, Sean, to my husband. I went back to school a couple years ago through the Karen Pryor Academy. It's a fairly prestigious school, dog training schools. There are a lot of them. And if anybody's interested in going to school to become a dog trainer, you have to be really careful about what you're getting yourself into. Methods are changing drastically and quickly, moving from what's been perceived as traditional or negative training to positive. I'm a clicker trainer, and so Karen Pryor Academy was a very rigorous program. There's about 650 of us in the world that have been through her program, and it has absolutely revolutionized the way I train dogs.
Really?
The way that I deal with people, the kind of parent that I am. I have two teenage girls. I think it's made me a much better person, and I believe that I can't even honestly think how I was even before I went to school. It was a life-changing experience for me.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it was pricey. It was a risk, but I truly saw the benefits immediately, even before I completed the program.
Hmm. That's great. Email from Nick in Milwaukee. Can you tell me about seizure alert dogs? My mom is in her 70s. She's been diagnosed with senior onset epilepsy. She insists on living alone. Would a seizure alert dog help at all, either to activate some kind of alarm if she has a seizure, or to alert her or bring her the phone if she senses a seizure coming on? Are they available in Milwaukee?
Great question. My first resource I'm going to give him would be Assistance Dogs International. If you just Google, I think it's assistancedogsinternational.org. That is a great spot to start learning about the different kinds of assistance dogs, which includes a seizure alert dog. Seizure alert dogs, I'm not really familiar with the training, but I can tell you that they surmise that the dog can detect seizures based on very, very fine motor skill changes in the person. So very, very small changes in a person's movement that we can't even detect, the dog can. And oftentimes that's a predictor of an oncoming seizure. The other thing is that it's potentially something they smell. So unfortunately, I can't provide a whole lot of resources in this area, nor could I steer you in the direction of somebody who could help you with that training. But one of the other resources that he could look into would be the Force Free Trainers of Wisconsin. It's a group that I'm affiliated with. I'm really proud of. We have a very active Facebook page, thanks to Laura Holder in the group. So I would have him Google Force Free Trainers of Wisconsin.
Can you say that again?
Force Free Trainers of Wisconsin. Sorry, Laura, I don't know the website offhand.
Just Google it.
But yeah, go ahead. Please do. And I think that the majority of the folks who are in that group are in the Milwaukee area. And if they don't have the resources themselves, they'll help find them.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Joe, so much for your call. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we want to add a program note to our discussion today. After weeks and weeks of talking about this issue, there appears to be a breakthrough. Tonight at 6 on the Ideas Network, we'll bring you a special edition of On Point with Tom Ashbrook. And you'll hear the very latest on the deal in Washington, coverage straight from the Capitol, plus analysis, great analysis on that show. On Point tonight on the deal to end the government shutdown, 6 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. We have a busy day here. We're in our fall membership drive as well and asking for your support. Your support is really the foundation of our budget. It's what makes WPR your go-to place for great programs. And we'll get back to therapy dogs and Molly and Fitzy in just one moment. John Munson is with me now to help make the case for you to go to WPR.org or 888- 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of all of the programs that you count on.
Well, we're asking you to help pay for these programs that you depend on, and we need 17 more of you to make a pledge in the next 25 minutes or so. Make yours the very next one at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know that we're passionate about bringing you 2 great hours of radio from 1 until 3, Monday through Thursday. We love dogs, we love cats, we love books, history, politics, social issues, education. We're here with important topics and fun topics as well.
Well, we can't do it without your support. It's a pretty simple equation. Listener contributions make up about 40% of our budget. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can choose the WPR Pet Bowl as your thank you gift for your pledge of $180 or more, $12.50 a month. Your pledge will help support the programs. You know we love dogs here. We do dog shows when we can. You and your pet will enjoy the WPR Pet Bowl. And maybe you want to pledge in honor of your pet this hour. Then you'll remember this in your It'll be a good time to do this. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, here it is. When we ask for your support, we're speaking to you. That's you.
So don't look over your shoulder. Don't look at your neighbor or friend or coworker. You are listening right now. You value this program and you rely on it being here for you.
You count on us and we're counting on you. Listener support is what makes this program possible. You're a listener. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to WPR into your budget, become a sustaining member. You'll make automatic, affordable monthly contributions from your credit card or your bank account.
Well, you know, a lot of people contribute $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100. The point here is that the amount is completely and totally up to you. You are in charge. As a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of Wisconsin Public Radio, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. So please contribute right now and become a sustainer at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Karen Reinhart from Fort Atkinson. I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio for nearly 25 years now, and it is really my source of news, of issues and topics of the day. It has meant everything to me, so much so that when I leave Wisconsin to visit my family on the East Coast, I go through withdrawals. I'm so happy to have Wisconsin Public Radio in my life.
When you become a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step that began a wonderful journey. Take the next step and become a financial supporter.
Well, that step from listener to supporter is pretty easy. Decide how much you'd like to give, $5 a month, a great starting point, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
As for the WPR Pet Bowl, with your pledge of $180 or more, $12.50 a month, please pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We need 16 more pledges this hour to make our goal of 25. We have 9 in, including 2 brand new members. Thank you very much. 16 more of you need to go to the web or the phone and make a pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support the programs you count on.
Thank you so much, John. And thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. We're talking about therapy dogs this hour of our show. Molly Johnson, a certified humane education specialist, owner of Canine Comfort in Fox Valley, Wisconsin, and one of her therapy dogs, who's just 9 months old and as cute as can be. Go to our Facebook page to post your dog's picture to see Fitzgerald William, also known as Fitzy, who's in our studios. And we're welcoming calls. We have a ton of activity going on Facebook, and people are calling in and everything. Kate on Facebook, Molly writes, we're sustaining members of WPR. Thank you, Kate. We have two dogs as family members. Sully is our newest addition to our family, a three-month-old Labradoodle. When Sully met one of our friends, the breed said that Labradoodles are supposed to be a smart breed. Our six-year-old replied, "Yes, he's smart. Both of our dogs are. My mom always has public radio on. She leaves it on for the dogs. So do I when we leave the house, so they hear a lot of news." So, of course, they're going to be smart if they hear a lot of news. Oh, that's great. Let's go to Pam, who's been holding for a while in Gladstone, Michigan. Hi, Pam.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I just want to say thanks for the show, and shows like this are the reason why I've been a sustaining member for many years now.
Thank you, Pam.
And my question is about my pug, Howard, who is about 3 years old, and he's about 16 pounds. The only thing Howard loves more than people is food. And if you know pugs, that's pretty typical. He's kind of overly energetic. And I'm wondering, how do I go about getting him evaluated to see if he might be appropriate to be trained as a therapy dog?
Great question. You said Howard is two.
Three,
sorry. I was listening, but I was also watching Fitz to make sure he was okay. 3 years old. 3 years old, for the most part, and this is very generally speaking, 3 years old is about the age of maturity for most breeds. If he is over-exuberant in his greeting, and over-exuberant being defined as can't keep all four paws on the ground, that's an issue. But that's more of a training issue than a behavior issue to me. Of course, it is a behavior, but it isn't necessarily part of their temperament, something that we can't change. Teaching a dog to keep all fours on the ground, not that difficult. You're in Gladstone, Michigan. I'm in Neenah. We can meet halfway. How does that sound? I know that you're pretty far north. There are some Therapy Dogs Incorporated testers up in the Green Bay area. I don't think that we have the Therapy Dogs Incorporated has any evaluators up toward you, but feel free to contact me through the website, compassionatecanines.org. And feel free to shoot me an email, and I'll see if we can get together and maybe do a pre-test sort of evaluation, which a lot of folks do ask for.
Oh, that's really nice, Molly.
Not a problem.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pam, so much for the call. Joan in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I was just writing down Compassionate Canines, and you caught me in the act. And I am also a sustaining member. I have been for many years. And I have just an adorable multi-shoe, and she loves people, and she loves animals, and she's been through training. I haven't tested her yet. She's a little over a year old, but she doesn't bark a lot, but if she sees a dog that she wants to greet and the dog isn't paying any attention to her, she barks like crazy, just crazy, and she also barks at me when I'm really focused on something at home and not paying attention to her. She'll just come up to me and bark once real loud, but she scares me to death. And so I wonder if there's something I can do about that.
Dogs typically bark if they're bored, if they're seeking attention, or if there's something that they want and they're trying to alert you. Based on the number of folks that are in my training classes, folks that I see, I would say barking and jumping and walking politely on a leash, top three problems.
Mm-hmm.
What we would typically do to try to solve that problem is, one, what's the trigger for the barking? We use a really simple formula, and you just remember the letters ABC. A for antecedent or trigger. What's the trigger for the behavior? So if it's the sight of another dog, if it's you, if it's attention seeking, then we move to B. What's the behavior? B in this case is she barks. And C, consequences. What happens when she barks? Because oftentimes the consequences, what those are, will dictate whether the dog will participate in that behavior again. So if I had a dog that was barking, and I tell the dog, no, stop it, cut it out. The dog is actually getting what they want. They're getting the attention they're seeking, and they're taking us away from something, and now the attention is focused on them. Many people think that that's the way to solve the problem, and they may stop in the moment, but they'll repeat the behavior because they haven't learned what to do instead. So the big key is, when you're trying to solve a behavior problem, we work through the ABCs. A for antecedent, what's the trigger? B, what's the behavior? And C, what are the consequences? Once we outline that, then we can move to putting together a training plan and deciding what's the alternate behavior that we want the dog to participate in. And not barking is not an alternative. We have to have a specific behavior, like how about a dog running to get a toy, getting a toy in their mouth? Then they can't bark. You know, the intent of the bark is another issue with therapy dog work. It's okay if they initially bark, but what is the intent? Is it a greeting like, hello, how are you? Or is it, I would really prefer to get into an argument right now, let's fight. Those are two really distinct possibilities. And of course, a dog that we would want to get registered for therapy dog work, you know, they can bark a couple times, but with no signs of unprovoked aggression accompanied with that.
Thanks very much for the call. We have some people who have pledged, I promised, that we would say hello to their dogs for them, because why not? And we have, go to our Facebook page, because we're getting beautiful pictures of dogs here. Rhonda, can you stay and scroll for me, because I can't do this at the same time. So we want the Kathleen Dunn Show is the place to go. Oh, my gosh, look at that beauty. Oh, my gosh. Look at these. You got to go to the Facebook page. This is radio. I'm sorry you're not seeing them. So we say hi to Kim's dogs. Hi, Ray Ray. Hi, Mimi. Ray Ray and Mimi, hi. Stephanie's dog, Bear. Hey, Bear. Therese's dog, Manny. Hello, Manny. And Kate's dog, Sully. Those are just a few of the people who have pledged this hour. Thank you very much. And we have a Facebook, recent post on Facebook. Go to our page and see. Some of these dogs are gorgeous. This one's from Therese. My dog, Manny, the light of my life, a therapy dog, and works with me through health healers, and now is accepted as one of Children's Hospital's therapy dogs. Yay. His first 2 years were rough, tied to a chain, underweight, and matted beyond belief. I've had him for 4 years now, and he lives quite the charmed life and makes so many others smile. Aww. Manny is a Newfoundland, just turned 7 years old.
Nice. Oh, Manny, yeah. Good job.
So therapy dogs, we tend to think of them as being a certain breed, but they come in all breeds, don't they?
They do. One thing I do want to point out, in case any listeners are confused, Fitzgerald William is only 9 months old, and he's not yet registered as a therapy dog. We're going to be working on the testing in January, and I can't test my own dog, even though I'm a tester for Therapy Dogs, Inc., because obviously there's a conflict of interest. But we have found some facilities in the Fox Valley that will accept him as a visitor, even though he's not yet registered. Mm-hmm. The important thing about the registration portion, the real benefit to people who choose to get their dog tested and subsequently registered, is the liability insurance that accompanies that registration.
I see.
So there are national registries. I'm affiliated with Therapy Dogs Incorporated. They do offer their members a really large insurance policy, $5 million of liability insurance for me when I'm out acting in a volunteer capacity when I'm along with my dog. Mm-hmm. So, yes, therapy dogs are all shapes and sizes. The smallest dog I've ever tested was 6 pounds, and the dog wore a different dress every day when I met the dog. The dog had a way better wardrobe than I did. Although I'm not much of a dress wearer. When we're training dogs, there's a lot of bending over and all of that. So dresses aren't really conducive to dog training. And the biggest dog that I'm aware of would be my friend Virginia's dog. His name is Hugo, and he's an English Mastiff, and he's 215 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
He's spectacular. He just turned 5, and Virginia does an excellent job handling him. She's an experienced handler. He's very popular with the cute little ladies in hospice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so many stories. I would imagine that a lot more people are entering. You talked about how it's picked up. There are a lot of people, and in part because of our national tragedies, too, when you see on television pictures of therapy dogs with the Newtown families or the Boston families, the dogs going into the hospitals, we've realized even more, living through all of that, what it is that animals can do for us.
I agree. We have seen an uptick in testing and absolutely an increase in our volunteer base. And I do think you're right. I do think that people are trying to give back in whatever way they can to make a difference in their community. And visiting with a dog is a really unique experience. Not a lot of folks can say that they have the right dog to do that with. Not a lot of folks, might have the personality or are a good fit for things like hospice or mental health work. Some folks are comfortable visiting schools and libraries and participating in reading programs where the kids are reading to the dogs. It doesn't matter. No volunteer is any more important than anybody else. Their work is equally valued no matter what. We so appreciate our volunteers. We're proud of our organization. Nobody gets paid. We're all volunteers. Everything's done out of my home office. People step right up. We have not had to engage in a fundraiser yet. So we really appreciate the support of our volunteers and the community at large.
So you do all of this for love. Isn't that something?
Well, yes. It's I have to keep thanking my husband because truly if he were not such a great breadwinner and such a good caretaker of our family, this wouldn't be possible for not only me but for a lot of folks. And, people thank me all the time. You know what? Thank my husband and thank my kids for putting up with the time that I need to spend in my office and thank the volunteers who are out there hitting the pavement. What I do is pretty minimal. I do a lot, again, behind-the-scenes stuff, so really.
What you do is remarkable, Molly. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you. And thanks, Fitzy. You were great. Fitzy was so good. Can you talk to me, Fitzy?
He's sleeping. He's sound asleep.
He's got all this radio excitement going on. He's taking a snooze.
It's been quite the hour. For folks that are interested in pledging, Fitzgerald does give his stamp of approval on this bowl because his large ears hang over the side rather than in the bowl, which works beautifully for him. The other thing is that I'm looking at how many people still need to call in. 15 people, right?
Yes, Molly.
So if we meet the 25, how about if I throw in a bag of Zooks? They're Zooks Mini Naturals. We use them for training all the time.
Oh, Molly.
I'll throw in a 6-ounce bag for every single person if we get to 25.
Oh,
how's that sound?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well,
I'm happy to help.
That'll bring us over. Thank you.
So
you're
call
just,
in.
You're the best. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Don't leave. We got some pleasure to do, but I want to say goodbye to Fitzy and to you. Okay. Thank you very much.
What
they're called? Zooks.
Zooks.
All right.
All natural. Made in the U.S.
Oh, fabulous. All right. Pledge, everybody, all you dog lovers. The number is 888-202-2552. And I promised that we would say hi to some of our dogs for those of you who pledged. I know this dog, Rosie, is all over Facebook. John's dog, Rosie, who's listening from Washington, D.C., right in the thick of politics. Hi, Rosie. You are just darling. And Mary from Manitowoc pledged in honor of Serby. Well, this has been a great hour. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you. You've been enjoying this great conversation, and you have a challenge here. We need 15 more callers, John, and how many? Just a few minutes. If you get the pet bowl at $180, then Molly said that she would throw in these Zooks Mini Natural treats for your dog. So, well, if I were a dog, I'd say, Mom,
Zooks.
Pledge.
I'd say,
yes,
great I'd say Caesar's Zooks. Ghost. I'm Perry White. 15 pledges in the next 5 minutes or so. That's what we need. Your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong. So please make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
How could you not enjoy this conversation with Molly and with Fitzy, who's here in the studio to talk about therapy dogs and all the good work that they are doing? Take a few minutes to make the hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, now you decide the amount of your pledge, and every pledge is appreciated. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you love at WPR. But why not ask for the WPR Pet Bowl as your thank you gift? When you give $180 or more, that's $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Molly says she'll throw in some Zooks Mini Natural treats to the next 15 callers because that's how many people need to call for us to meet our goal. If you know you have WPR on every time you start up your car when you're taking your dog for a run somewhere, it's a sign it's time to donate.
Or because you hit WPR preset every time a commercial airs on another station, that's a sign it's time to donate. That means WPR is your main radio station, and you're glad we are listener supported.
Your donation makes the programs you enjoy on WPR a possibility and uninterrupted by commercials. Please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you know, you might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information from it all month long.
But, you know, you get those same things on this station. And, in fact, the quality of what you get on WPR is really unmatched. The quality is only possible because of your support. Become a sustaining member with a gift of $100 a month and keep this station on the air and going strong.
Well, I listen a lot, definitely more than I listen to any other radio station. You know, I listen to the pledge drives every year. I just thought, why not sign up to be a sustaining member? And that way I don't have to make the one big pledge every year. It just feels good. Sometimes in the past, I might feel a little bit of guilt. I know that the station is sustained by donations primarily, and that the members are really important. I listen every day and think, boy, I really should be sustaining this and helping out. It feels good to listen now and know that my contributions are helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Yes, you will. And we're looking for 15 more pledges in the next couple minutes or so. Please call and pledge now. This was for our honored pets this hour. Ask for the WPR Pet Bowl with your pledge of $180 or more. And then Molly said that she will throw in some of these Zooks mini natural treats so you can put it in the Pet Bowl and you'll all be happy.
$15 a month, that's what it'll take to get the WPR Pet Bowl, your pledge of $180 or more, $15 a month. Whatever you do, make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John. Go to our Facebook page to see pictures of Fitzy and Molly and all your dogs, and that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. And thank you. Thank you for pledging. Thank you for listening. Thank you, John. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, KP. Until tomorrow.